presence all around me, Lord. So I trust in God, yeah.
You are the one who will never fail.
He will never fail.
He will never fail.
Sing, I trust in God.
I trust in God.
You do, brother. My Lord.
When I call my homeboys, I might call them up. But you might not get no answer, though. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
But when you call on the Lord, if you seek out the Lord, He will renew your strength. Yes, He will.
Yes, sir.
I know this is someone else's testimony. Help me sing. Sing, I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. He answers all your prayers, yes, He will.
I saw the Lord, and He heard.
May not be the way you want it.
And that's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God.
Sing, I saw the Lord.
Come on now.
And He answered.
I saw
the Lord, and He heard.
We have faith in You, Father. We have faith in You, Lord.
And He answered. That's why I. Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God.
My Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. We got this family group that we send texts and things on all day long. I'm sure everybody got something like that on these phones. Most of the time, it's just full of jokes and junk, silly stuff that's going on. But a few weeks ago, somebody sent that. I don't know where it even started. Started this song around, it tore my day up. When I heard it, I was wrecked the rest of the day. Because I just couldn't stop listening to the song over and over again. It's infectious like that. And it's so true and so simple.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's so simple, it just, and I didn't know you were gonna sing that song this morning. I didn't, I mean, apparently y'all knew it because Karen was playing around the house a couple of days ago. And I asked her this morning, I said, what's up with that song you was playing? She acted like she didn't know what I was talking about.
Amen.
And we heard it. We listened to it all the way to church this morning. Yeah, she found it for me like it was a surprise or something, you know. And then we get in here and you cue it up. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she can keep a secret. Yeah, that was good. Bless you this morning. God bless you. Yeah. I sought the Lord. And He heard.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
and He answered.
Glory, glory. Yeah.
You know how big that is.
That's
yeah,
it.
I went to look for him. You know what sought him means. Yeah. I went looking for him. Yeah, turned over everything that seemed to be a hindrance and blocking me. I sought him. I looked for him.
Yeah.
And when the Lord heard I was looking for him, I didn't have to do anything else, Rich, because He came. To me, He inclined His ear to me when I was searching for Him, but He was searching for me at the same time. And the Bible said He heard. He heard, and He answered. Some of you think he hasn't been listening to you. He is. He is. Ask him. Talk to him. Make the request known. Make your request known to the Lord.
Yes.
Yeah. The Bible says he'll incline his ear.
Thank you, Lord.
To us. My Lord. You know, think about that now. Think about how many people you ignore. How many people you ignore. You know, they call you, you send them voice and voicemail.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ain't got time for you right now. And he heard. He always takes our calls.
That's it.
Yeah. Lord have mercy. Yeah. What's crazy is he always takes our calls and he already knows what we want.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
He already knows it because he's omniscient. He knows everything.
Yes.
My God. Oh, all right. It's all right. I have a party by myself. I don't really need y'all. Y'all are superfluous to my good time with the Lord. Yeah, I can do it by myself. I just want you to understand that. You know, you do your thing, but me and him got a thing. Yeah. I don't need applause or amens or anything because that ain't what it's about. No. Because he's the one.
Amen.
All right. Back into this sermon series that we've been talking about. The stories that change the world or can change your world anyway. We've been in it for a few weeks now. Started talking about seeds and how they grow. And we talked about sons that stay and go, and a merciful God. And we talked about virgins who were prepared and not prepared. Ten virgins, half of them ready, half of them not ready. Mm-hmm. The consistent theme in all of these messages has been, how do we walk by faith? How are we prepared once we become believers? What is it that we're supposed to be doing? All right. And behind the scenes on the seed, there are things growing on that we can't control. We're growing, even if we don't see it. At a certain point, we're growing. And then the prodigal reminds us that God is always available for us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
The prodigal sought the Lord. And he heard,
yeah,
and he answered. All right. But there was another one.
Come on now.
There was another one who stayed at the house, who was with the Lord every day, and he didn't seek him. Mm-hmm. He took him for granted. That was his older son. He took all of what God was doing for granted. But he had it available to him the whole time. And then we had last week, 10 virgins, 5 who prepared themselves properly, and 5 who did not prepare themselves properly. And so when the bridegroom came along and they were to go off to the wedding, 5 were unprepared. 5 were prepared. And so they were able to go in into the wedding feast. And today, none of this is about getting your salvation or being saved and losing it.
Okay.
None of these messages talk about that. Okay? It may seem that way, but it's all about how to fortify your relationship with the Lord, not lose it, okay? And today is no different. Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be in verses 21 through 35. There's a parable here that Jesus told that no doubt will affect each one of us in some way. The parable is entitled, The Unmerciful Servant. The Unmerciful Servant. The parable of the unmerciful servant. That doesn't even sound right from the beginning, does it?
No.
Yeah. But it has themes that you have to put into your life. Talking about forgiveness.
Oh boy.
The theme of forgiveness. And some of us are not going to like what comes out of this unless we make a change in our lives. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Can I read it for you? Yeah, it's going to be displayed for you. For those of you who are here watching the stream, it's probably going to be displayed on the stream as well, I'm certain. But verse 21 in the New International Version, I believe, reads as follows. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Watch this. Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And therefore, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus starts into the parable, is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold or talents was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. Watch this now. Verse 30 reads, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told the master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I did on you or had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. Verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Wow. Wow. Three characters, pretty simple parable from Jesus. The king represents God. The servants represent us. And the fellow servants, our servants, represent the people who wrong us. Who wronged us? You don't have to raise your hand. I want you to think about it. Has anybody ever wronged you? Has anybody ever treated you wrong? Has anybody ever done you wrong? Has anybody ever done something to you for which you thought they needed to apologize, hurt you, harmed you in some way, maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, but the result was still the same? You've been aggrieved by them, wronged by them. If so, then you're included in this. Now, if I'd ask for a show of hands, I'd know it'd be everybody in here. Because at some point in life, somebody does something against you.
All right.
The question is how we handle it, what we do about it. A huge debt is forgiven in the first instance. And then in the second instance, a small debt is not forgiven. Let's talk about it. A talent, or the numbers used in this parable, are intended to raise your awareness at how significant the forgiveness is that the king does. All right? It says that the man owed 10,000 bags of gold, or talents in the King James version of it. A talent was the largest measurement they had at that time. It's like saying a ton. A ton. And so if you had a ton of gold, 2,000 pounds by hour, but a ton of gold, he had 10,000 tons of gold. That's how much he owed the king. A figure that was so astronomical that there's no way in life, in a lifetime, he could ever pay it back. That's Jesus's point. And because he was willing to be humble enough to go to the king and say to the king, please forgive me of this debt. Even after the king demanded the debt, the king was gracious enough to say to him, I forgive you of all this debt. This same man who has been forgiven 10,000 tons of debt goes out and runs into one of his partners who owes him $100. Yeah. The Bible says it was 100 silver coins. Jesus says this to show the contrast. A minuscule amount, a small amount in comparison to what he has been forgiven. And even though God forgave him 10,000 tons, he won't forgive this man $100. Has the man thrown into prison until he pays the debt back. Now let me say this before I get down into this. Some people have what I think, what I'm certain is a gift from God. We know some folk like this. They just don't hold grudges on folk. They just don't. They just, and if this is you, you ought to be grateful. I got a friend, and it doesn't seem to faze her when people do her wrong. I know they've done her wrong. I know they've intentionally done her wrong, but she can't hold the anger. She can't. I've seen it. I've been knowing her for years. And when I see it, immediately after something happens, she'll be upset. She'll be upset. And we'll talk about it. And then a couple of weeks later, it's like God has just done a windshield wiper thing. Mm-hmm. It's gone. Wow. It's gone. And you start talking about it, and she'll say, I'm done with that. It's a gift from God to be able to deal with life on those terms. And I'm talking about some of this stuff is public, some of this stuff is big, and yet she's moved on. See, I'm moving on. Where you been? Oh, I've been with such and such and such. I say, for real? Because I'm surprised that you're back into company with this person who I know intentionally has done you poorly. On the other hand, there's some folk who can't seem to get any slight offense out of their spirit. I mean, just the other way, the way she can do a windshield wiper, it's like they dig deeper. They remember stuff folk did to them in kindergarten. They still mad at stuff folk did to them in kindergarten. She took my pen in kindergarten. They can't seem to get it up out of their spirit when somebody does something wrong to them. They don't have by nature a forgiving heart. When I say by nature, I don't know what it was in their life that made them feel that they had to get everything they could and keep it. But whenever you cross them, they're not your friend anymore. And imagine a person like that who keeps piling offense after offense after offense in their spirit, and they never offload any of that. Can you imagine the weight that's on them? By the time they get a certain age or a certain point in life, they are so weighted by the wrongs they perceive and maybe accurately have been done to them that they become this other person who is not trusting of anyone, who doesn't give anybody the benefit of the doubt, who is not friendly, who cuts you off at the pass before you even have an opportunity to try to be their friend. They've already put a wall up because they are saturated with wrong in their lives. And they don't know how to get space in their spirit to give anybody the benefit of the doubt. And then they wonder why they can't maintain relationships with people. Because, here you go, no matter what you do, friendship starts the same way with anybody and everybody. You got to trust somebody. You got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And when you're not willing to do that, you're not likely to grow friends in your life. Not only that, there are some people who don't mean you any harm in what they do. They're just going about life, but you perceive their actions in such negative ways because that's where you live. You live on Wrong Street, and anybody that comes to you is doing something wrong to you. That's what we're talking about here. And it doesn't matter that you can come to people and expect them to give you the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, we judge people by their actions, and we want people to judge us by our intentions. All right? Because that's why when folk come up to you and they've harmed you and they say, I didn't mean to. But you say, but you did. You actually did harm me, but they want you to absolve them on their intention. But I didn't mean to. I was just trying to help. I know, but you burned up my car. You do realize you burned up my car because you didn't put no oil in it when I let you use it. But I didn't mean to. Yeah, I brought that up for a reason. Yeah. So watch this now. I want you to take this out of here. What God is telling you today is that he has given us unlimited forgiveness. Somebody need to shout when you think about the fact that God has given us unlimited forgiveness. Watch this. This ain't about money. It's not about denarii or talents. It's not. A denarii was like a day's wage. And the amount of debt that the man owed was like 100 days' wages. For any day laborer, that's a lot. In fact, it's an amount that he is not likely to pay off anytime soon, a day's wage. But the unlimited amount of forgiveness that God has given, we have been given, you need to know this, far more than we will ever forgive. You ought to write that down. We have been forgiven far more than we will ever forgive. If you are in the body of Christ, you've already been forgiven far more than you can ever forgive. You've been forgiven your sin debt. Oh, see, because sin doesn't always show up on us, because sin is something you can't see or hear, sometimes you can't even feel it, because it's something that seems out there in the spiritual sphere, and it is, we don't understand how big it is, all right? And all of us sitting here smiling this morning because we got our ticket in our hand to go to heaven, but you don't understand who paid your ticket, because it certainly wasn't you. You didn't pay your ticket. Jesus Christ paid your ticket for you to go to heaven. But the only reason he was able to purchase your ticket is because he was willing to die for you. That's what you have been forgiven. When we tell you that Jesus paid the sin debt of the world, you are included in that. Imagine a line of people coming up, dropping their sin on the table. And Jesus putting paid in full. That's what he did when he went on the cross. Watch this. Psalm 103:10-12 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You forgot how you were or how you are sometimes when other folk don't see you? You forgot that part of you, the part you don't show out in public? Yeah, come on now. Don't act new on me. Everybody in here ain't been dipped in buttermilk. All right. Everybody in here hadn't been holy, holy, holy all their lives. Some of us been holy and hellish at the same time. Yeah, some of us still are that way. Some of us still do things wrong. We wouldn't want everybody in church to see us at home sometime. We wouldn't want to put no listening devices in our house to hear how we really do talk sometime. Not how we really talk, but who we talk about. That's all part of our sin right there. And what the lesson is telling us, even though we still struggle with our sin nature, you've been forgiven this debt. You've been forgiven this debt. The who you are, not the who you want us to see. Because those are two different people. The who you are is because of who he is, not because of what we've done. You ain't got to feel bad about it. It's the who I am too. I acknowledge that. I understand that I have sinned and fallen short of the mark. I acknowledge that. I realize that because of who he is, life is better for me, and I have forever in my future. I understand that. You've been forgiven far more than you will ever forgive. And yet, even though we've been forgiven so great an iniquity and transgression, we refuse to give people the benefit of the doubt and forgive them small things. We hold it over their heads. We deny them our fellowship. We deny them conversations. We hold them responsible for things that they haven't done. We do, because it's easier to do that than to just actually have a conversation. You know, let me tell you one of the things that's most frustrating. When people treat you like you've done something wrong, when you know you haven't, and they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. You haven't actually done anything to them, but they treat you like you've done something to them, and they act like they're always mad at you. That is a frustrating feeling. Because there's no way you can get around that. Because why would you go to them and say, have I done something wrong, when you know you haven't done anything wrong? You're getting pulled into a conversation that doesn't really, it's not really a conversation. It's all on them. But they walk in that all the time. And then they bring other people into it. They bring other people. The implication they give other people is that something happened between y'all that they don't like. That's wrong. That is wrong to treat people. It is, in effect, a damage to a person's reputation when you treat them as if they've done something wrong to you, and you need to ask the Lord. It's a sin to damage another person's reputation. But we don't act like we've done anything wrong. We want to always act like we're the victim of something as opposed to the perpetrator of what's going on. Yeah. But watch this now. This is important. Number one is we've been forgiven far more than we will ever forgive. But you need to know this. Based on this parable, Jesus is saying you will not, everybody say not, be forgiven by God if you are unforgiving. You will not be forgiven by God. So the way you put it out is the way you take it in. You will not be forgiven by God if you are unforgiving. So folks say, well, if you are already saved, how can that work? That's why I told you none of these are about losing your salvation. Now, I'm going to walk this to you. I want you to hear me on this. You can be mad at me if you want to, but it ain't going to be for a reason. All right? You will not be forgiven by God if you are unforgiving. All right? How do I know this? Verse 35 says so in this parable. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you. In other words, whatever you do, he's willing to do. If you're willing to forgive, he'll forgive. If you're not willing to forgive, stop right there. How can you be a true believer and not be willing to forgive? How can you say you're a child of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood? How can you say you are his? You have his nature on you, but you are not willing to forgive. And so one has to beg the question, if you have an unforgiving spirit, are you really his child? You don't look like him. You don't act like him. You don't do the things he does. I guarantee you, I ain't got to be around Reg and Ellington but a few minutes. Before long, I'm going to see Ellington doing some stuff that Reg does. He's going to look like his daddy. He does. He's going to act like his daddy. He's got his daddy's mannerisms about him. But you say you're a child of God, and you don't never act like God acts. You don't forgive like God. You don't have mercy on folk like God. How can you say you God when you act like you don't belong in the family? I realize by the laws of man, we stepchildren. All right, we were bought by the blood. But the Bible says that anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. All that other stuff has passed away. I realize my Donnell creep up in me. I say that. And I have to ask the Holy Spirit to help me, restrain me, guide me, protect me. But I'm doing that on a regular basis. But when you just don't forgive folk, you just won't let people go, nothing. Whatever they do, they forever that to you. That's a problem. And so how should you forgive? You should forgive constantly. Constantly, okay? Watch this. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Peter said to Jesus, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven? And Jesus said, I tell you, not seven, but 77 times. Why did Jesus say 77 times? Why? Because in his conversation, Jesus, in Jewish tradition, there was this notion at the time that if you forgave somebody three times, and they did the same thing again to you, Cam, you wouldn't have to forgive them again. That was Jewish notion, all right? So Jesus, that's why Peter said more than three times. That's why he said seven times, because he automatically wanted to knock down the three or four times. And he, by saying seven times, he thought he was saying something big, because they had already said, if Andre steps on your foot three times and says, I'm sorry, forgive him those three times. But if Andre steps on your foot the fourth time, Andre trying to step on your foot. So you don't have to forgive him that fourth time. And Peter said, well, Master, I know four times creates a problem. So if I forgive him seven times, that's a lot to Peter. Watch this. Jesus said, not seven, 77 times. He blows the conversation so out of the norm, because who would think of forgiving someone who does them wrong 77 times? Surely after 77 times, you can say from a man standpoint, this person intends to do what they're intending to do. They want to harm me. Maybe after 30 times, I got a pretty good idea. This dude trying to hurt me. Yeah, after 40 times, I'm pretty sure this person is trying to hurt me 77 times. And Jesus said, if they do you wrong 77 times, you forgive them 77 times. In other words, Jesus is saying, always forgive. Always be forgiven. Constantly forgive. Now, what you think about that? Because some people say, there's some things in my life that I just can't forgive you on. Or what's the famous saying? I can forgive, but I don't forget. Yeah. Yeah, that's our way. That's our way of holding on to a wrong, because it's the memory that weighs us down. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's the memory that tears us up. And every time we stroke that scab that's on our leg, well, that dude stuck me. Every time we rub it, guess what happens? Oh, we right back in that place again emotionally. All those emotions are back there again. You know what I'm talking about, which is why in Scripture, God says that when I forgive you, I forget it. Y'all don't believe me. Y'all don't believe me. Y'all don't believe it's in the Bible that he says that because of my nature says that if sin is around, I have to not be around sin. If there's a memory of sin, I can't be there, God says. And so when I forgive you of your sins, I forget it for my own sake. God says, for my own sake, I forget it. Because the nature of God is holy. It's holy. All right? I'm going to give you a passage of scripture. I need to find it real quick, and then I'm going to finish this sermon. It's found. Give me one second. I should have picked it up. All right, dude, you good. Yeah. I think it's 63, Isaiah. I'm going to find it. I should have found it. I need my phone. That's what I need. I can't put my finger on it. I got it marked in here. Oh, this is important enough that I want you to understand it. I want you to put it in your own phone. Thank you, Therese. Yes, that's what computers are for right now. My brain ain't the computer it used to be. Isaiah 43 and 23. I knew I was in the right space, but Isaiah 43 and 23. Put this down in your Bible. You want to go? He said, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. All right? I am he who blots out your sins, your transgressions for my own sake. All right? And remembers your sins no more. That's how God deals with the wrongs that we do against him. Sin is against God. We can sin against people, but sins are also against God. And he said, when I say I forgive you, I've blotted it out. And so watch this. When you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, please forgive me for the wrongs that I've done. When David went and prayed and God says, I forgive you, my child. I love you. When you leave that prayer, what the old folks used to say in Tyrone, leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. That's what the songwriter says. But what you know what we do? We get up from the prayer and put it in our pocket. That's what we do. Yeah. So watch this. I got to constantly forgive, and I got to forgive wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Forget all that revenge is sweet. All that revenge is a dish. It's best served cold. The world will tell you, you got to get people back. I came to tell you today that the world is a lie. You got to forgive people. We spend so much time trying to get folk back. And you know what the scripture says, that when you dig a ditch, dig two. Dig two, because you're going to put yourself in one of them. Most people who try to go through and get revenge usually expose themselves far worse than the person who has done them wrong. You expose yourself to people in ways that you really don't want to be seen. Yeah. You have to be extravagant in your forgiveness. I've seen it in so many different ways. I've seen it in so many different forms that people forgive extravagantly, and it makes you think they're crazy. It makes you think they've lost their mind, that they could forgive somebody like this. Deacon Hudson, I saw a grandmama forgive a child, her grandchild, who killed her daughter and her husband. Forgive. She forgave her. She sat there. She said, and the question was, why? She said, because I love her. That's my grandchild. She did wrong. She did wrong, but I still love her. He killed her husband. Her grandfather, the girl killed her grandfather and her aunt, tried to kill her sister at the same time. And the grandmama went to a trial every day. Every day she sat there and listened to the murder of her husband and her daughter and an attempted murder of her granddaughter. She listened to it. The news people were just amazed that this woman had the fortitude to sit there and listen to such horrible things. So don't sit here and tell me you can't forgive folk because they wrote something stupid about you on Facebook. Because they misspelled your name or went with your boyfriend. Who cares? He wasn't your boyfriend. He was y'all boyfriend. Yeah, you used the wrong pronoun. Not 9 hours. Yeah, clearly look, be grateful. Be grateful that it happened when he was at the boyfriend stage. Now you know he shouldn't be husband. All right, be good with that. Don't promote him to another level. Forgive wholeheartedly. Forgive wholeheartedly. And so this, three questions. All right? Three real hard questions come out of this parable. What kind of judgment does verse 34 predict? Because it says in verse 34 pretty clearly that when the master found out that you had this unforgiving spirit, he then took you and threw you into the prison. All right? Verse 34 says, in anger now, the merciful one is now angry. He handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Let's be honest. You never can pay this back. You can never pay back 10,000 tons. And so what are we talking about in this? We're talking about eternal damnation. Okay? Eternal. Forever. You're never getting out of this. Never. And so how does that fit with the narrative of salvation? I've told you before, if you have an unforgiving heart, how can you be saved? You got to ask yourself that. If I'm always angry, mad at everybody about everything, have I really accepted the forgiveness that Jesus Christ gives me? Because included in that is the spirit of forgiveness and love. And if I never display any of that, I need to ask myself, do I really have that in me? It doesn't matter how long I've been coming to church. It doesn't matter how many Sunday school classes I've been in, taught, done anything. If you don't have forgiveness in your heart and your spirit, you got to ask yourself, do I really belong to Jesus? Now, that's a hard question. It's a hard question, but nobody can answer it for you. And there's a quick remedy for it. Ask the Lord to forgive you for real. Ask him to bless you right now. The second question is, does this parable disprove eternal security? It doesn't, for the reason I just said. All right? Does it mean I can't be saved? Yeah. It means you need to check your salvation. See, am I really saved in this space? Yeah. And then lastly, do I have to forgive people who are unrepentant to me? People who won't forgive, who won't even say they're sorry. Who are not sorry for what they did. And so I asked the question, it depends. If forgiveness means reconcile with that person, then the answer is no. You don't have to reconcile with that person to forgive them. You can forgive them and still not fellowship with them every day. Okay? And the Bible gives you a methodology for dealing with that. It's found in Matthew. They say that if you go to somebody who has harmed you and you ask them to forgive you and they won't do it, then the Bible said the remedy for you is to then go get two or three brothers from the church and bring two or three brothers from the church and again ask that person for forgiveness in the presence of those two or three witnesses, because that's what the Bible says. And if they still won't forgive you in the presence of two or three witnesses, then the Bible says you bring it to the church. All right? Bring it to the whole church. And if that person still won't forgive you in the presence of two or three witnesses or the witness of the whole church, then be done with that brother. And the Bible says clearly, treat them like a pagan, and this is ugly, or a tax collector. A tax collector. Oh, yeah, you couldn't be worse than a tax collector. Treat them like a pagan or they work for the IRS. Wrong thinking. Well, tax collector. That's why Matthew, who's writing this, a tax collector, was so grateful to God. All right? But if forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation, if forgiveness means not holding a grudge and not seeking revenge, then yes, you have to forgive people. You can't hold no grudge. Can't seek revenge. That's not true forgiveness. And you have to forgive people under those circumstances, according to the Bible. Stop focusing on other people and what they've done to you, and start focusing on what God and what he's done for you. That's the perspective you want to look at. Stop focusing on them and start focusing on him. And when you do that, then forgiveness becomes something that you do as a matter of course. I'm not saying it's not going to be hard. I'm not saying it's not going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life. But I am telling you that Scripture reminds us that we need to get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Is there somebody you need to forgive today? Is my question. Is there somebody you need to forgive this day? In order for you to move better in your life, there's something you need to get off of you and your spirit. Then the opportunity exists right now for you to do so. Stop letting it hold you back and down. Christ forgave you. Accept his gift of salvation. It's included in the package. Forgiveness comes included in the package. Love comes in the package. He went to the cross for you to have the strength and ability to forgive others their transgressions. Accept him today. While our leaders come right now, our doors are wide open. Only trust him. Only trust him. Come on now.
Down at the altar, you can be whole again.
Give your life to the Master.
Down at the altar, you can be free from sin. Please don't wait. Don't hesitate.
Don't. Jesus is waiting.